fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to be with family, to worship the Lord, to set aside the Lord's Day, to commune with the King, be refreshed and ready to go for another week. I want to share with you today a little bit about an experience I had last month with my wife Debbie and I. We were on mission in Brazil. It was my first time in the country of Brazil, an amazing country, beautiful country, and an intensely Catholic country. There's 130 million Catholics in Brazil, and you can see it and you can feel it everywhere, which was very inspiring. It was at the center of Catholic life there, clearly is Christ himself, but fundamentally there's also a huge devotion to Our Lady, which is quite inspiring. And the center of that is the miracle of Aparecida. Aparecida means appearance. It's the name of a town where 300 years ago, it was a small village. Some poor fishermen found at the base of this river a statue of Our Lady. And they brought it out of the water, and once they brought it out of the water, they began to honor not just the statue, but just honor Our Lady, and things began to happen. There were healings, there were signs and wonders, there were great catch of fish, there were all kinds of things that got the attention of the people. And over time, that area became a shrine and a center of devotion to Our Lady, a sign of God's presence in power, and a way in which people could see God's action. There were all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles throughout the last 300 years, signs of God's calling and purpose for the people and their response to the invitation of Our Lady to deeper devotion to the Lord by following her. And it's beautiful to see. They have a glorious church there at the shrine. So we're there, and it seems like it's always packed. We happened to be there the week. It was the week of October 12, 13 in there, in that time of year, and they had the 300th anniversary on the 12th. And I thought it was interesting that October 12th was the, again, 300th anniversary of Our Lady of Aparecida. There wasn't an apparition, but there was this finding of this statue, which led to all kinds of signs and wonders, as I was saying. So that happened. They're celebrating it on the 12th, and then on the 13th, October 13th, is the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, back to back. And what's also of interest to me was the fact that both these events happened in Portuguese-speaking countries. It made me think about national destinies and graces that God gives to different peoples and ethnic groupings. And in some way, Mary and the Portuguese people have a particular, I think, commission from Christ to be able to help the world remember what's most important. So thinking about both the miracle of Aparecida and seeing 300 years later, a country that has so many active Catholics at a time when in the world, across Europe, across Canada, and now more and more in the United States, there's a tremendous collapse of the faith. It isn't happening there at the same rate that it's happening in other places. And the public devotion and the public expression of faith is very, very strong there. Priestly vocations are very strong. Church attendance is extremely high in many places. There's some tremendous centers of Catholic renewal there. And there's four dynamic national TV networks that really work together in many ways, have slightly different approaches and charisms, but fundamentally are bringing the gospel, the life of the church, to homes all across the country. At one point, I was asked to speak on live shows at two different networks, and one of the networks, it was a Monday night, and they have a weekly show that's hosted by a very dynamic priest. His name is Father John Luis, a young priest who just recently had been a pastor of a parish, but he's released from his diocesan responsibilities to do mission work not only in Brazil, but beyond the borders of Brazil. Very gifted, very devout, dynamic guy. And he has a show every week and runs roughly, I think, from 7 o'clock their time till 8:30. And they asked me to do a talk. It was a live show, and they have 1,000 people that are present at the live shows that they do there in the evening because they have a big studio and then a church right above it. Their studio is below a church. And so I got a text during the day as we're driving there, and my wife and I were spent time with a Brazilian Catholic evangelist named Celso Duretti, who is very well connected across the country, and a very saintly guy, very passionate, wonderful, very alive in his Catholic faith, and he was our interpreter every step of the way, all day, every day, not only during the talks, but communicating to people, because so it was a surprise to me how few people in Brazil actually speak English. They speak, as I mentioned, Portuguese. So during the day, we got a text. They said they'd like you, Pete, to speak on physical healing and to pray with people. I said, okay, I didn't have any notes on that, but I just kind of got out my Bible and other things and sort of put a talk together. But he got there that night, and the show began with Father Jean-Louis giving kind of an exhortation, reflecting on some of the events that were coming up because it was the week of the celebration of Our Lady of Aparecida. And so they gave me 40 minutes, and so I did my thing and prayed with people, and it went very well. And then we had 30 minutes of Eucharistic adoration and Eucharistic procession. And there were five cameras, and the priest took the Blessed Sacrament through the studio crowd and upstairs into the church. And then there were lots of intercessions during the procession and things we prayed for and words of knowledge that were shared. And it was quite beautiful and very tastefully done. It was very reverential, and it was quite powerful. Well, the next day we came back in the morning to do another show. They were interviewing my wife, Debbie, and I both. And at the studio, they had gotten in the numbers from the night before from all the different places around the country that kind of track who's watching, how many people are watching. They said 6 million people watched that live show that night. And I was shocked at the numbers. And now, 6 million people in a country of 130 million Catholics, that's still a small percentage, but it's very rare in my experience that in a particular country that many people are tuned in. And it turns out they're tuned in throughout the week, and they have shows going, and they have very high viewing audiences throughout the day. And not just this particular Catholic network, but the other ones around the country have it as well. So there's a hunger for God there. It's really visible. And there were certain characteristics about the faith in the country that I think really stood out over time. The people that I saw, that we touched, we spoke to very large crowds, to small crowds. We had meetings with leaders and priests. And so kind of got a good pulse of what's going on there. And the country is very Marian. As I said, it's got a very strong, Mary's had a very strong impact. And so not only Our Lady of Aparecida, from 300 years ago, but also Fatima, as they said, also another Portuguese-speaking country, these two realities. And the devotion to Our Lady is beautiful, and it's rightly ordered. And many of the people have a kind of beautiful simplicity in their faith. They're not simpletons by any means at all, but they have a certain simplicity that's expressed in a deep devotion to Our Lady and a great adoration of the Lord. So they're very Marian. They're very Eucharistic. And we had Mass every day. Every place we went, there's Masses available all across the country. So they're very Eucharistic, very liturgical. Eucharistic adoration was a part of almost every single event we did there. And again, it was beautiful at times that when the priest would raise up the Blessed Sacrament, people just spontaneously would start applauding. They would just applaud together in unison for a long time, just rejoicing in and exalting in the Lord. Just a great thing to be a part of. But also, the Catholic Charismatic Renewal has had a huge impact in that country. And to my experience, I've traveled a lot of places around the world over the last 30 years, and very clear that the Catholic Charismatic Renewal is not without flaws in different places, but has made a very large contribution to various parts of the church, especially priestly vocations, religious vocations, and helping lay people be activated more in the faith. And sure enough, I think it's probably, Brazil probably has the most organized, the biggest numbers, but also the best led, best integrated, and most high impact Catholic Charismatic Renewal I've ever seen. And I've heard about it for years. And I spoke to many priests and leaders, and they said the vast majority of the new priests they have, and they have lots of priestly vocations across the country, have all been touched by the grace of the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. So you see, it's Marian, it's Eucharistic, it's Marian, it's charismatic, and it's very missionary. They're very evangelistic and constantly reaching out to try to extend the gospel to more people in their own country. I was telling these priests, a few of them who speak English at all, I said, you should come to the United States because we need more help. We need more dynamic missionaries like them who are so confident in the faith and understanding it. It's kind of just an update of what we saw, but one of the things I wanted to mention and just reflect on today and maybe tomorrow a little bit is the reality of God's mission, our Lord's mission through Our Lady, how he sent Our Lady to be a messenger, to be a sign, to be a word of warning, a word of encouragement. She's the great evangelist, the great prophet, the great intercessor for all of us in so many ways, the beautiful role that Jesus has given her and what he's really, how he deploys his own mother in his mission. And of course, we celebrated just a month ago the 100th anniversary of Fatima. And I just wanted to read a bit from Sister Lucia's diary. And because one of the things in her remembrance of what happened when the angel first appeared to them and then Mary's coming, where she talks about what their experience was as children. And I've been fascinated by their encounter with the angel that came. And I wanted to read to you what I picked up from EWTN's website on it here. And here's Sister Lucia. She said, "We went on that occasion to my parents' property, which is at the bottom of the Quebeco, I think that's how you pronounce it, facing east. It's called the Chausa Vela. About the middle of the morning, it began to drizzle, and we climbed up the hill, followed by our sheep, in search of a rock that would shelter us. And so it was that we entered for the first time into that blessed place. It is in the middle of an olive grove that belongs to my godfather, Anastasio. From there, one can see the village where I was born, my father's house, and also Casa Velha and Ira de Pedra. The olive grove, which really belongs to several people, extends as far as these places. We spent the day there in spite of the fact that the rain had stopped and the sun was shining in a clear sky. We ate our lunch and began to say the rosary. After that, we began to play a game with pebbles." It's just so beautiful and simple, their life. And it says, "We had only been at it a few moments when a strong wind began to shake the trees, and we looked up to see what was happening, since it was such a calm day. And then we began to see, in the distance above the trees that stretched to the east, a light whiter than snow in the form of a young man, quite transparent and as brilliant as crystal in the rays of the sun. As he came near, we were able to see his features. We were astonished and absorbed, and we said nothing to one another. And then he said, 'Do not be afraid. I'm the angel of peace. Pray with me.' Then he knelt, bending his forehead to the ground. With a supernatural impulse, we did the same, repeating the words we heard him say, 'My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you.' After repeating this prayer three times, the angel rose and said to us, 'Pray in this way. The hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready to listen to you.'" There's so much there in this little description that I want to look at tomorrow, but I want to just read it to you today and encourage you to hear this prayer. It's such a simple and beautiful prayer, and I think a very important one for our time. I just want to end the show and pray it again, and maybe you can pray it with me. "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, do not adore, and do not hope, and do not love you." And friends, remember, the hearts of Jesus and Mary are ready to listen to all those who cry out to God for the times that we're living in, which we'll take up tomorrow. I hope you can join me. Ask your friends to tune into the program. I think you'll find it to be a good one. But until tomorrow, this is Peter Herbeck. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.